Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our scripture this morning is from Acts 16, verses 16 through 34. We are going to a place of prayer. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her own owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul with us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the rulers. And when they brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews. They are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept on practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Saul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Here ends our lesson.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we pray in the name of our Lord, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this week has been a flurry of activity, as to be expected when I come into a new church situation and I'm meeting all of you for the first time. And I'm excited to be here and serve among you. And to let you know that I am a resident of Southbury, so this is the first time in all my career of doing interim work that I have been able to work in my own hometown. So I'm very excited about bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to this community and to see how we can expand that here. This week has also been a week of tragedy, once again with the loss of 19 children and two teachers in an elementary school in Texas. And it is in times like this, I just have no words. And all I wanted to do this week with all the activity going on is just find a place to be still, a place to pray, a place to speak to the Father and see what it is that I needed to know. And so I was able to do that at one point and hear God's voice. And the message I received is that this is a time of deep collective prayer against the evil that would cause someone to commit such a heinous crime, a crime that we are all too familiar with here in Connecticut. So I have lots of questions, though, and it has caused me to pause even more and want to seek the silence and prayer and God's word. But sometimes when you want and need to get away for some time of silence, with all that's going on in the world today, there are just too many interruptions, and so many interruptions, which has caused me to develop a practice of certain hours of the day as off-limits hours, usually very early in the morning till about 9:30. I like to spend in prayer and study. And certainly another hour of the day might be in the evening. This time I like to cut off the noise, cut off the TV, the hate, the violence, and just listen. Listen to the word and see what it has to say in these times and allow the Spirit to lead and also be beside me and behind me as I need protection. Am I always successful in getting that message? No, I'm not. But I keep trying and I keep seeking God's presence. I've come to the conclusion that's how we survive these days. Not only survive, but how we thrive when we seek the Word of God. Cut off the noise and tune in to God. And as I read this story from Acts this week, I can tell that Paul and Silas tried to get away also. They really did. They tried to escape when this demon-possessed woman shows up. They had first met this slave woman when they were looking for a place to just be quiet and a place to pray. Maybe it was a semi-secret place, I don't know, or maybe they were looking for a spot that just looked inviting, or maybe they were looking for a gathering of Christians where they could be and somewhere in that community. Who knows where this place was, but wherever it was, their search for it became unimportant once this gal showed up. I mean, she was relentless in this story, and she followed them for days. Not only did she follow them, but she yelled after them. These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation. Sounds pretty good. She got a lot of attention for that. That'd be sort of like me leaving here this morning in worship and someone following me out into the streets of Southbury that we were raising people from the dead in here. We'd raise some eyebrows, that's for sure. And it might be a little bit annoying, but I got to thinking about this. Maybe, just maybe, that would be good advertisement. Now, to be fair, I think they liked it at first. In fact, I'm willing to bet that this herald followed them about, doing a good deal of their PR work for them, announcing and introducing them in one sentence. Now, who wouldn't want that? It's like a Facebook ad on steroids. Since she seemed to have a bit of her own reputation for reliability, it may be that they enjoyed a bit of the following because of her. Maybe they were thinking, well, this might just go viral and we would explode the church. Perhaps her owners liked it too, at least at first. After all, foreigners were good customers and lousy competitors. If Paul and Silas were rumored to have some sort of good news, they were charging for, and a crowd gathered, well, then that's something good. And who were these slave girl owners, if not good businessmen, to take advantage of the gathering crowds, scouting for real customers who would want their fortunes told? And if Paul and Silas got some free publicity, no competition, who were the owners to complain? The gal got the crowds. Silas got free publicity and got followers. And the slave girl's owners found clients. It's a win-win marketing plan. It must have been clear that there wasn't going to be any competition because Paul and Silas, with this free word, and the slave girl had excellent copy for which the people would pay. In case you don't know what copy is, copy are words in an advertisement that draws you in and pulls out your wallet. Okay? The money was going to be made. So far, so good. Sounds like a good thing. Except it didn't last very long. And it didn't last because Paul became so irritated. The scriptures tell us Paul was very much annoyed, which is a good thing in this case, actually. You see, the annoyance of the Holy Spirit was what was guiding Paul in this instant to pay attention to what's going on. Because it wasn't just the slave girl who was a slave. Paul and Silas were rapidly becoming slaves too, slaves to a plan that God didn't make. Unrighteous behavior such as divination and sorcery can create slaves to evil and attract the demonic. It's alluring, especially when you're making money or trying to attract more followers, but it dulls the senses. And when we are no longer paying attention to what's really going on around us, we get duped. We get duped and we move farther away from God and the plan that God has for our lives. So what does Paul do to squelch this marketing plan and squelch it fast? He began to distinguish between the Holy Spirit and the spirits that were in the environment, in the situation. In other words, Paul woke up. In an echo of accusation that might have been made years earlier and recorded years later, in the name of the ruler of all spirits, Paul commanded her spirit of sorcery and divination to leave her, and it did. Well, there was no more herald, no more easy crowds, no more exploitation of the girl. Perhaps her voice had gotten on Paul's nerves. Maybe he'd been annoyed by her owner's exploitation of her. Maybe he even felt a little guilty having an instant congregation to preach to, except that it wasn't one that was raised for the right reasons. It was raised for profit. And these people had no interest in the way of salvation who came to listen. They didn't. And that message was to be for free. So the first thing we need to learn from this lesson today is to know our purpose, what our message is, and stick to it. A marketing friend of mine once said, "Don't fall for the shiny objects that people will come at you with. Stick to a simple and clear business plan, a business message that is authentic to you." This simple, clear business plan, you will, is found in Matthew 28. And in verse 18 to 20, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's it. That's what we're to do. And somehow in today's world, this mixed up, crazy world that we live in right now, the church has been so busy that maybe we don't remember, or we get sidetracked by shiny objects and we end up hoping that this or that will draw more people in, or that we can do this and it will attract young people. People, you see, are not attracted unless we are meeting that hunger that comes deep within their souls, a hunger for the good news that Jesus brings, because they know that deep within, that's what they have been longing for all along, this unconditional love that Jesus brings, that God sent Jesus for. And so, back to the story, the spirit of divination had been made to leave this girl. Poor thing. She's never heard of again in the book of Acts. But her part, I think, was played out, and she exited. I'd like to think that after a life of taking in customers with her fortune telling, that she had been taken in by some kindly followers of Jesus and began to believe in him. I'd like to think that she began preaching and teaching and making disciples of many people according to God's plan. I'd like to think that she was a better servant of the word than she had been before in her life of telling fortune, that she now lived in freedom, no longer a slave to bad business people. I pray she was a happier woman and a woman of confidence and a woman of resilience. But by verse 19, we don't know what happened to her. And Luke takes us then to a near martyrdom's experience with Paul and Silas at the center stage. Yet in her absence, we now learn the truth that what this slave girl, what her owners were like, what the town was like, and even the authorities were like, that at the very least it seemed like this girl's owners were in league with the magistrates of that town. They all clearly believed that profits were paramount, and pity the fool who gets in the way of the slave owners making a buck. And suddenly events sort of take on a contemporary feel here. The local businessmen wronged by these out-of-towners file suit against them. And I repeat again what was read. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And there, where business is done, they were judged, not according to the profits lost, but because they were Jews, advocating for customs that were not lawful for Romans to adopt. And suddenly things changed. Suddenly there comes another shift of the scene. There was the public beating, the stripping of the clothes, the throwing into the deep, dark imprisonment, an earthquake happened. This is what happens when you follow Christ and when you take a stand for Christ. I'm not saying it does or it doesn't, but here's what Paul discovered and what we need to know when we begin to realize that evil is around us, following us even at our heels at all times. The first thing is that we need to protect ourselves. Paul says in another scripture, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, put on the full armor of God and be ready. Be aware. Pray in all seasons. Pray. That's what we're to do in the world that we see today. We pray for the mothers, the fathers, the siblings, the aunts, the uncles, the community of the where the children lived who were killed this week. We pray for the investigators to see what really happened there. You see, prayer is part of the plan. It's part of the plan during times like these, during the times that Paul lived in. Prayer, you see, keeps us grounded in the presence of love. Second thing, stand with Jesus. Stand with Jesus. Be the people of God, fully prepared in season, and God will surround us with amazing love and power from the Holy Spirit. This power will be seen when we stand as God's people with Jesus. Now, we hope that we're not going to get thrown in prison or beaten up in some kind of public verbal beating for our faith. What I've found out so far here in South Britain in this 1 week that I've been here is that the saints before us, and I'm talking many years before us, in this church and in this church community have stuck their necks out for Jesus. They took a stand. They risked ridicule and rejection, and ultimately, because they stood for what is right, they won. Now, I could end this sermon right here, but I'm not gonna. because wait, there's one more thing. One more thing I saw in this scripture this week. In the midst of the messes and the suffering in being in jail, we discover Paul and Silas were not really captive. They were free. You see, they were free because we see that in their singing. And so number three would be to go to that place of music, actually. And I was telling Jenny this week, it opens your soul. It grounds you in your faith. I don't know how many of you feel that way, but when you sing out loud, it makes such a difference. And Paul discovered that Jesus is here. He's been here in this story all along, in the slave girl, in her owners, in the magistrates, and in the jailer. And in Paul and Silas and their fellow prisoners in the dark, even in the darkness. Most particularly, Jesus is in the darkness. You see, the darkness plays a big role because it could not keep Paul and Silas from singing, for they believed God had their backs. And the chains of anxiety, bad news, terrible things across the earth fell off of them, and they will fall off of us as well. Because why? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us as believers. So all these players, cruel and bound and lost though they seemed, were part of the clay in the potter's hands, who was throwing a jar of dirt and water, throwing a jar for the jailer and for his family and for the slave girl and for us. Because you know what? When we take that stand for Jesus, things are going to get shaken up in our lives. God wants to shake out those fears, those hurts, those betrayals, and the times we've been abused or have been even an abuser, because we are forgiven. God wants to shake out our sicknesses and disease, all of it, all of it. And it all gets shaken out under the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can overcome the darkness. And I say amen to that. Amen to that. In Revelations 21, 3 to 4, there's a promise here, and we have to hang on to the promises of God in these times. It says, He will dwell with them as their God. They will be His peoples, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. God will see to the justice. Stand with Christ, who will redeem this broken world, and the Holy Spirit, who will heal and comfort us in these times. Christ has already broken the chains, and we are set free already. Thanks be to God for Jesus, for those Jesus has sent before us who have been in darkness, and sing to us now who set us free. And all God's people say, Amen.